And so Kindelach, the Mishnah Lamelech, told his friends, the other officers, you wait here, you get the party ready, you get all the donuts and cookies ready and all the party hats and games and all the drinks, and I'll come back and I'll tell you what I saw in the oven, because for some reason the officer of the oven, who knows, maybe he fell asleep or something, he didn't come and tell the king. He'll be in trouble, boy. Oh boy, will he be in trouble. But at least we'll have our good party. I'm going to go. I'll be back soon. And the Mishnah Lamelech goes out of the palace and he goes to the building of the oven. And it's already now the early afternoon. He walks in and over there he sees the big, strong officer of the oven sitting there on his chair next to the burning hot oven. And the Mishnah Lamelech says, where are you? Why didn't you come to the palace? What are you doing here? Why didn't you tell the king that you did your job? All of a sudden, the officer of the oven gets up and he starts walking over towards the Mishnah Lamelech, looking at him right in the eyes. He says, because I didn't do my job yet. And the Mishnah Lamelech says, what do you mean you didn't do your job yet? Early in the morning, you were supposed to throw the first person who came into the building over here. You were supposed to throw the first person who comes to the building into the oven. So why didn't you come and tell the king yet that you did it? And the officer of the oven is coming closer to the Mishnah Lamelech, and he says, because no one came yet into the building. You're the first one. So now I'm doing my job. And he grabs on to the Mishnah Lamelech. The Mishnah Lamelech says, well, what do you mean, where's the Rambam? Didn't you throw him in the oven? He says, no one came yet. You're the first one, I'm telling you. And as the Mishnah Lamelech is screaming, it's a mistake, it's not supposed to be me, let me down. And the officer of the oven says, I'm not supposed to ask any questions. I'm just supposed to go over and throw the person in the oven. I'm not supposed to listen to what he's saying. That's what the letter said. Don't listen to who it is or what he's saying. Ask any questions. Here you go. And he opened up the oven and he threw in the Mishnah Lamelech into the burning, hot, burning oven. And later, Kindelach, the Rambam came to the building of the oven. The Rambam came to the building of the oven as the officer was leaving to go tell the king that he did his job. And he says to the Rambam, excuse me, what are you doing here? The Rambam says, I have orders from the king to see the oven, if it's doing its job or not, because the king said the oven is not working so good lately. And the officer of the oven says, no, don't you worry. The oven is doing a good job. It's working perfect. Hey, it's working perfect, I know, because in the oven now is burning up a good burning thing. So you come to the king now, you could take a look for yourself, and you'll tell the king together with me that the oven is doing a good job. You don't have to inspect it. You take a look. You know what? You open the door and you inspect the oven. You'll see what's in there and tell the king if it's doing a good job. The Rambam opened up the oven and he saw Kindelach. The Mishnah Lamelech was a big burnt pile of bones over there. He saw over there his uniform just burning up. Whatever he saw over there, I'm not going to go into detail. The Mishnah Lamelech was completely burned up. Barbecued Mishnah Lamelech. And now, Kindelach, the Rambam, and the officer of the oven come together walking into the palace. Just as all the other officers are setting up all the donuts and cookies and candies and party hats for their party, all of a sudden they see the Rambam and the officer of the oven walking together into the palace. They can't believe their eyes. What's going on? Where is the Mishnah Lamelech? Why is the Rambam still alive? Why is he coming together with the officer of the oven? And the king is sitting on his throne, and the officer of the oven and the Rambam come in front of the king, and the officer of the oven says to the king, I just want to report to the king that I did my job. And the king says, you did your job. Aren't you a little bit late? Weren't you supposed to do it early in the morning? And the officer of the oven says to the king, well, it just said that I'm supposed to throw the first person who comes into the building into the oven. Now, I'm waiting since the morning. I'm ready to do the king's command. Early in the morning, I come into the building. Because in the morning, I got the letter from the king. First thing in the morning, whoever comes into the building of the oven, throw him in the oven without asking any questions, no matter who it is. I'm sitting on my chair, and I'm waiting. And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. Nobody comes. But I say, look, the king commanded me, so I will do the king's command, and I'll wait how long it takes to wait. So I'm waiting, and it's getting to be later. It's getting to be later. Until it came already the afternoon, the early afternoon. I'm still sitting on my chair. I'm watching the door. Nobody comes in. Finally, king, I'm sorry, but this is what you asked me to do. All of a sudden, your Mishneh LeMelech comes into the building. Now, I walked over to him. I picked him up. Oh, he was screaming. He said, it's a mistake. He said, it's supposed to be the Rambam. I didn't know any names. The letter didn't say who. It just said, whoever walks into the building, the first one, you pick him up and throw him into the oven. King, I picked up the Mishneh LeMelech, just like you told me, and I threw him right into the oven. And Kindalach, the other officers, their faces turned red. And the king was just sitting there with his mouth open and his eyes were popping out of his head. And now the Rambam says to the king, and king, I only want to also to report to you, I did my job. I inspected the oven and it works 100%. Excellent. And the king says, how do you know? Because I saw what was inside. It was all burned up. What did you see inside of the oven? Well, the Mishneh LeMelech. And the job was a good job. Well, Kinalach, the king saw that, number one, Hashem was with the Rambam. He saw that Hashem of the Yidden was a great Hashem. And instead of hating Jews, he got a big respect for the Rambam and for all Jews, because he realized this is Hashem of the Jews who did this. It wasn't just his own command. His own command was second to the command of Hashem. And the king now had respect for the Rambam and Jews. And then he looked at the other officers with their party hats and their donuts and their cookies and their games, ready to have a party because of what almost happened to the Rambam. And the king remembered the threats of the Mishneh LeMelech, how he was going to turn all the officers and the generals against the king, and how the Mishneh LeMelech was draining the king a cup. And the king got off his throne, and he said to all of the officers, everyone in my palace is fired. I don't want you to be my officers anymore. I don't want you to be my generals anymore. I don't want you to be my armies anymore. He threw every one of them out of his palace. He took away their uniforms, their party hats, their donuts, their cookies before they could even take one bite, their candies, their games before they could even play a game. He took away their balloons. And Kinalach, all the officers went out in shame. And, of course, they had to go work. And he hired new officers. And from that day on, the king liked Jews. And he was always nice to all Yidden, and only helped Yidden. A long time ago, in the time of the Alter Rebbe, was a very poor chassid named Chaim Yankel. Chaim, your uncle, and his wife were very, very poor in the Kindalach. You know what they would eat for supper? Bread, and if they were lucky, beans. If they were lucky. Maybe a shtickle onion. And even in bread, there's white bread, forget it, too expensive. Challah, of course not, only for Shabbos. Rye bread, also too expensive. Black bread, a heavy black bread, the cheapest kind, this is all they could afford. And water, and that's it. I mean, they were so poor. What would they do for Shabbos? You know, Shabbos is a mitzvah to have some fish, some chicken, some flesh, something special for Shabbos. So Chaim Yankel's wife, every day that she could, she took a jar and she put in maybe an extra penny, maybe. Maybe sometimes an extra 2 pennies. And she would save it for Shabbos. And when it came out of Shabbos, she would go to her jar, and if anything was inside that she could save, she would go shopping. Really, a lot of people would go shopping Thursday, but they wanted to wait until they had enough money they could buy something. Maybe the extra day they'd be able to get a little bit of extra money. And she bought anything she could extra for Shabbos. Maybe a shtickel chicken, or maybe a shtickel fishy, maybe a vegetable or a fruit, something, covered Shabbos. One Erev Shabbos, Kinalach, Chaim Yankel's wife went over to the jar, and look what was in the jar. A few extra pennies. Not one and not two, but 3 or 4 or maybe even 5 pennies. Oy, so many pennies. In those days, a penny could buy something more than it could nowadays. 5 pennies was a lot of money, especially for a poor person. 5 extra pennies in the pushke. Ay, today I'll go to the marketplace and buy something good extra for Shabbos. I'll be able to buy a shtickle fishy and a shtickle fleshy and probably something else special. She took the money and she went to the marketplace and she bought things for Shabbos, the regular things. And with the extra few pennies, she bought a few carrots, a little bit of sugar, and a little bit of honey. And she's going to bring it home to make tzimis. What's tzimis? You take a pot, you put in the carrots, you put in the sugar and the honey, you cut up the carrots into little pieces, you put it on the fire and stir it up, and it starts cooking, and the carrots and the sugar and the honey all together, cooked together to make a delicious tzimis. A cooked thing, and it smells so sweet and good, and it tastes so delicious. And Chaim Yankel's wife, she was so happy. She was so excited. I can hardly wait till Chaim Yankel comes home from shul, and he's going to make kiddush, and we're going to have the challah, and we're going to have our little piece of fish and our little piece of chicken, and we're going to have the tzimis. Chaim Yankel is going to be so happy. Not happy that he's eating tzimis. Why is he happy? Because it's L'Kavod Shabbos. The Shabbos is special. You feel the Shabbos when you have something special. That's what it's supposed to be like on Shabbos, Kinalach, that the more you have nice things and good food and beautiful clothes and a nice tablecloth, and candles burning, and special dishes, and all the special things for Shabbos, the main thing is you should feel Shabbos more. It brings more of the feeling of Shabbos, the oinig Shabbos, the tainug of Shabbos into the house. Because it's a mitzvah to have oinig, pleasure on Shabbos. And it's oinig for the neshama. When the body eats the food, and wears the clothes and has all the nice things, it's a helikite for the neshama also. And during the week, you're only supposed to eat what you're supposed to eat during the week. only what you need. It's not a mitzvah to have a geschmack, a chocolate cake, and a delicious thing. It's not a mitzvah. It's not a special mitzvah. Now, of course, if it helps you learning and davening, and you're doing it the right way and not too much, it's also an inyan during the week that you can lift it up to Hashem. But it's harder. On Shabbos, everything you eat is l'kavod Shabbos, and it can lift up the neshama to Hashem much easier than during the week. And that's why Chaim Yankel's wife made the delicious tzimis. And this is what happened, Kinalach. Erev Shabbos, on the stove, were the pots of food. And then Chaim Yankel's wife left the room to go into a different room to do other things to get ready for Shabbos. Now, that afternoon, Erev Shabbos, Chaim Yankel came home to get ready for Shabbos. He was getting ready to get his things together. He was going to go to the mikveh. Then he was going to go back home and then go to shul, like he does every Erev Shabbos. He comes in, and the first thing he did when he came into the house was smell a delicious smell. Oh, what's that? I didn't smell that in the house last Erev Shabbos or any other Erev Shabbos I could remember. That's a good smell. It's not the regular onion, and it's not the regular fish, and it's not the regular chicken, and not the challah. That's something very special. I wonder what that smell is. I think I want to go find out. Boy, did I get hungry when I smelled that smell. Chaim Yankel goes over to the stove and he lifts up the first pot. Oh, a little cholent. Oh, how nice. Beans and potatoes. A little bit of onion and a bone. No, we've had this usually. He goes over to the next pot. A little bit of fish cooking. He smells the fish. It's not this. Smells okay, but not this. Goes to the next pot. A little bit of chicken soup, a little chicken in there with a carrot floating around. That smells nice, but this is not that special smell. Oh, look at that little pot by the corner of the stove. I wonder what that is. I don't usually see that pot on the stove. And he went over to that little pot, and he lifted up the lid, and he saw delicious-looking orange tzimis. Orange because it was made from carrots. Oh, tzimis. And he smelled it. Ah, that's the smell. Chaim Yankel smells the tzimis. Oh, this is it. This is the geschmack of smell. Oh boy, tzimis for Shabbos. All of a sudden, Kinalach, he got so hungry to eat the tzimis. A little voice came in his head. Chaim Yankel, why don't you eat the tzimis? Aren't you starving? And another voice came into his head, my wife, I'm sure, cooked this for Shabbos, not to eat now for Erev Shabbos. If I eat it up now, nothing will be left for Shabbos. And that wouldn't be nice. It wouldn't be nice for anybody, because I'd eat the whole thing for myself and wouldn't leave for anybody else. And it was made for Shabbos. No, I can't do that. And the other voice came back in his head, very tricky. Chaim Yankel, I don't mean, of course, to eat the whole thing. Just take a taste, a little bit, taste it. And Taka, there's an inyan to taste on Erev Shabbos, the foods for Shabbos. And Chaim Yankel took a spoon, and at first he took a little tiny piece of the carrot to taste the tzimis. And he made a bracha, bayrei priho adama, and he tasted the tzimis. Oh, it was so good, like candy. Oh, it was so delicious. And he went to put the lid back on the pot. And just as he was going to put the lid on the pot, a little voice came in his head and said, Chaim Yankel, not enough. Take another bite. After all, don't you want to make a bracha achrayna on what you ate? It's not enough if you only take a little tiny piece. And Chaim Yankel took a big spoon. And he took a big portion and he ate it up. And it was so delicious. And he got so hungry, Kinalach. He couldn't hold himself back. He put the spoon back in the pot and took another bite, and put the spoon back and took another bite, until he finished the whole pot of tzimis. The whole thing, he ate it up Erev Shabbos right there. And when he was done eating up the whole pot, he felt bad. Oy vey, when my wife comes in the room and she's going to see the pot's empty, she's going to get very upset. What am I going to do? And what he wanted to do, because he was very embarrassed, was just put the lid back in the pot and leave the room. All of a sudden, his wife comes back in the room and she sees her husband with the pot and the spoon in one hand and the pot in the other hand and a little bit of the tzimis on his beard. Hi, my uncle. I cooked tzimis for Shabbos. Did you see it? Yeah, I saw it. Do you like it? Yeah, it's delicious. Oh, you mean you tasted it? Yeah, I tasted it. Oh, yeah, did you love it? Yeah, I loved every bit of it. What do you mean you loved every bit of it? I mean, you just tasted it, right? Yeah, I took a big, big taste. And she saw that the pot was empty. Oi, Chaim Yankel, the pot is empty. Where's the tzimis? What happened to it? I'm sorry. I ate it all up. You mean you didn't leave it for Shabbos? I am so upset. You didn't leave the tzimis for Shabbos. What am I going to do? I cooked it for Shabbos. And Chaim Yankel's wife got so upset she didn't know what to do. And she went running out of the house. And she went running down the street. And she says, I'm going to the Alter Rebbe. I'm going to the Alter Rebbe. I have to tell the Alter Rebbe what happened. She's a simple Yid. And she got so upset over this tzimis, she has to tell the Alter Rebbe about it. Oy, a gefer l'chazach. No tzimis for Shabbos. She cooked it for Shabbos. Her husband ate the whole thing up. And now she's plotzing. She doesn't know what to do. She's going to tell the Alter Rebbe. Can you imagine telling the Rebbe Shlita that somebody ate up all the food? And she goes, Kinalach, to the shul of the Alter Rebbe. And she comes in crying and screaming. And in that shul, they're getting ready for Shabbos also. Oh, a terrible thing. I have to see the Alter Rebbe. In my house happened a terrible thing. And of course, the Hasidim thought, who knows what could have happened with this woman, Nebuch. Some kind of an emergency. She wants to see the Rebbe. And the shamish of the Rebbe went to his door and he asked permission for the Rebbe to see this woman who has an emergency in her house. And the Alter Rebbe said, bring her in. The woman goes in now to the Alter Rebbe's room, and the Alter Rebbe is sitting in his room, and the woman says, Rebbe, Chaim Yankel ate up all the tzimis. Chaim Yankel, my husband, he ate up the whole pot of tzimis. And nothing is left for Shabbos. Akinalach, the Shamish and the Hasidim that were peeking in the door to see what was happening, they thought that the Alter Rebbe, what's he going to say to this woman? I mean, here a woman is telling a great tzaddik, a halakha tzaddik, the Alter Rebbe, about what? I mean, people come to a tzaddik with the biggest problems, with the biggest things. And here she's coming with a little thing, a pot of tzimis, of carrots, that was eaten up before Shabbos. What is the Alter Rebbe going to tell her? Some of the Hasidim thought, if it was them, they would scream, what a chutzpah. What a chutzpah to tell me about it. Forget about it. What is the Alter Rebbe going to do to this woman? And the Alter Rebbe, Kinalach, put his hands to his head and his head down, like thinking halakha thoughts. You know what tzaddik knows, Kinalach? Sometimes a very small thing is not a small thing. There's halakhite in everything. And to this woman, this is her whole world now. Her whole world was that pot of tzimis was eaten for Shabbos. The Alter Rebbe is not going to just chas v'shalom start screaming at her and treating her like, what are you doing here? The Alter Rebbe said, I wish I would have had your husband's chelik in Olam Haba for the bracha he would have gotten from Hashem if he would have waited to eat that tzimis on Shabbos. I wish my chelik would be like your husband. It's something that a bracha, it's a bracha that he could get. I could never get such a bracha. I wish I could have the same bracha your husband would have gotten if he would have waited. It's something I myself could never have. Boy, I wish I could have such a bracha like that. And the woman said, what do you mean, a bracha? A bracha from my husband in Olam Haba? What are you talking? I don't understand. He ate up the pot at Tzimis. What's it got to do with Olam Haba and a bracha and Hashem? And the chassidim were wondering the same thing, who were peeking in the door, and the shamash was wondering the same thing. And the Alter Rebbe explained to the woman, do you know who made your husband eat up the tzimis? It's not your husband. Your husband is a good man, and he has an neshama, and he's a yid. But he has a yetzahara. The yetzahara is the one that tricked him into eating the tzimis. The Alter Rebbe says, I don't have a yetzahara. I don't have a yetzahara. If I came in to see the tzimis, I would never want to eat it up Erev Shabbos. I would never have the feeling to eat it up Erev Shabbos. Now, when the yetzahara came to your husband and told him, eat the tzimis, now there was a fight. The Yetzer Tov said, wait for Shabbos. The yetzahara said, no, eat it now. The Yetzer Tov said, eat it on Shabbos, wait, don't eat it now. And he's trying to push away the Yetzirah. Now, when a Yid pushes away the Yetzirah, and he doesn't do what the Yetzirah says, he gets a very big bracha from Hashem. Actually, that bracha is not just an Olam Haba. The bracha is an Olam Hazeh also. He brings down a lot of Kedusha, a lot of Halakhit into the world, when he doesn't listen to the Yetzirah. And he gets a big chelik in Olam Haba, and actually a big bracha in Olam Hazeh, when he fights his Yetzirah and he pushes it away and he wins. Now, unfortunately, your husband this time did not win the fight, and the Yetzirah made him eat the tzimis. But I would never have that Yetzirah to come and tell me eat the tzimis. I would never have anything to push away. And I would never get the same kind of a bracha for pushing away the Yetzirah that your husband could have gotten. So I'm just saying, I wish I could have had the chance to see the tzimis like your husband, to feel the feeling I should eat it, and to push away the Yetzirah, and to get that bracha that your husband could have gotten. He had a chance to get such a big bracha. I wish I could have had that chance. Even I can't have such a chance like your husband had. And the woman said, you mean my husband had a chance to get a bracha that even you couldn't get? Yes, the Alter Rebbe said. Your husband had a chance to get something that even I couldn't have. That bracha would have even been bigger than the tzimis itself. And the woman calmed down. Hi. My husband Chaim Yankel had a chance to get a bracha that even the Alter Rebbe could not have. My husband also must be a very special man. The Alter Rebbe says, of course. And she went home. She wasn't upset anymore. And she tried the next time also to make tzimis. And she told Chaim Yankel what the Alter Rebbe said. And sure enough, when they had a few extra pennies and she cooked tzimis again, Chaim Yankel, remembering what the Alter Rebbe said, was able to control his Yetzirah, not eat the tzimis, and know that he was getting a special bracha by not listening to the Yetzirah, a bracha that even a tzaddik can't get, because a tzaddik does not have a Yetzirah.